A reading from Exodus. Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And God said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" A reading from the Gospel according to St. John. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then, that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen. I want to talk with you today about doubt. About doubt in your faith, or periods of unbelief, or struggling with faith. Every believer at some point in life goes through this, or at least you should. Why would I say you should go through seasons of doubt or periods of unbelief? Think back to the early part of your life. You spend childhood thinking of God in a certain way. You have this concept in your mind that God will respond to your prayers, to your good deeds, to your piety, that God will respond with certain blessings, with specific protection from harm, or with certain rewards or whatnot. And for a while, it works. You pray, you go to church, more or less you behave, and in general, God blesses you with various blessings in life. But then the day comes when God doesn't live up to his end of the bargain. You do everything you think you're supposed to, but grandpa still gets sick. Or someone is cruel to you. Or you don't get the class or the job or the home you had your heart set on. So you ramp up, you pray harder, you go to church more, but still God lets you down. And so you say, "God's will be done." But then it happens again that God doesn't live up to your expectations. And then again, and then again. And so you begin to wonder, maybe this God I believe in isn't really up there. Maybe he doesn't really exist. Which is actually true, and I'll get to that in a minute. But when God doesn't meet your expectations in a real way, you may go through a period of unbelief. You may go through a season of doubt. This God I believed in and served is not responding, and maybe I was mistaken all along. Now, some people, unfortunately, sadly, become an atheist at this point. They stop believing in God altogether. And it's sad because they stop there. God didn't live up to their expectations. God didn't show himself in a way they wanted. He didn't respond in the expected way to their faith, to their actions, to their prayers. God failed to show himself repeatedly in a way that was expected. So my God obviously doesn't exist, and why should I believe in a God that doesn't exist? There's a certain logic to that. The problem is they stop there. Now, for a different sort of person, when God fails to live up to their expectations, they become what you might say a temporary atheist. They stop believing for a while. But that's when something beautiful can happen. It's when we realize that God doesn't exist the way I imagined him all those years. And so this person in a season of doubt, this temporary atheist, has to stop believing in God as they imagined him. And it's true. God, as I imagined him, doesn't exist because that's not the real God. The God where if I do X, Y, and Z, he'll do A, B, and C, that God doesn't exist. And you do well not to believe in him. The beautiful part is when we finally stop believing in God as we imagined him, we can turn a blank page in our hearts. And the God who actually does exist can be written there. Only when you wipe the tablet free of your preconceptions can the real God be written on your heart. Only then can you begin to encounter God as he actually exists. And for most of us, that should happen repeatedly, because the new understanding of God being written on my heart will inevitably get mingled with my personal expectations and have to get thrown out again. And I have to repeat the process. The truth is, in my fallen state, I have a lot of trouble believing in God as he is, and spend way too much energy believing in God as I think he is, or as I think he ought to be. When God revealed his name to Moses from the burning bush, God said his name was, I am who I am. He didn't say, I am who you want me to be. He didn't say, I am who you think I am. God's name is, I am who I am. So a growth in faith requires a growth in acceptance that God is going to be different than how I imagine him. No matter what I think, no matter what I imagine, no matter how blank I try to make the tablet of my heart, my expectations will miss the mark. God is the great mystery. He's not a coin you find on the street and you just get to keep him in your pocket. God is the great I am who I am. When you read the Gospels, you see unbelief and doubt about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, over and over and over. Why is that? Why all the unbelief and doubt about Jesus? Well, if there's one constant in the ministry of Jesus Christ, it's this. He did not live up to anyone's expectations. For some, this failure on the part of Jesus to live up to expectations was insurmountable. There were plenty that would simply never believe. Jesus didn't fit the image of the Messiah that they had, and they weren't about to change their own expectations. It was easier to not believe. But for so many others, the doubt and disbelief were temporary, as old expectations gave way to a blank tablet of the heart. Now, today in the church, we celebrate St. Thomas, popularly, unfairly called Doubting Thomas. All the apostles doubted, all had a period of unbelief. A dead and a crucified Messiah did not fit their expectations, and not one of them believed Mary Magdalene's news at first, not one. Now, St. Thomas gets singled out because we hear more of his story. A crucified and buried Messiah clearly didn't fulfill Thomas's preconceived notions of the Christ. But in his season of doubt, Thomas doesn't say, I give up. I'm never going to believe no matter what. What does St. Thomas say? He says, if I see, I will believe. When I touch, I will believe. And when Jesus appears, Thomas does the hardest thing any person can face. Change his mind and admit he was wrong. Thomas throws out his old expectations and lets Jesus write a new message on the tablet of his heart. His doubt was only for a season, his unbelief for a limited time. When St. Thomas opens his heart to the God who is, to the Savior who really is, faith floods this man in an unprecedented way. Now that's one reason it's so important to drink deeply from the theology and teachings of the gospel and the church. It helps keep away faulty expectations in the first place. As St. Thomas doubted, as did all the other disciples, St. Thomas doubted because his expectations for the Messiah were faulty. His expectations didn't include betrayal. His expectations didn't include humility. His expectations didn't include crucifixion and burial, and they certainly didn't allow for resurrection. But in spite of that doubt, in spite of all those preconceived notions, Thomas was willing to set those ideas aside and encounter God as God truly is. And if you ever find yourself struggling with your faith, if you ever find yourself going through a period of unbelief or a season of doubt, first thing to do is check your expectations. And chances are your expectations don't match the God who is. And at that point, you can give up, or you can find a great partnership with our beloved Thomas, the apostle who set aside his expectations, who set aside his preconceived ideas, and opened a blank page in his heart so that the God who actually does exist, the great I am, who I am, can be written there. Christ is risen.